KIOS-FM presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, April 17, 2003, for broadcast at this time. Today's topic will be Downtown Omaha, the Future. The members of the panel will be Bob Peters, the director of the Omaha Planning Department, Barbara Schaefer, chairman of the Downtown Omaha Business Development Board, and Todd Hestand, co-owner of New Style Development Corporation, which has had a major role in rehabilitating old downtown buildings into apartments and commercial space. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Gary Kerr, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
When I came to Omaha in 1964, what is now the Gene Leahy Mall was not a place to go stroll with your children, believe me. It took a long time, but oh, how times have changed. For many people, what is already happening in the downtown area is just the beginning, and that's what we're going to explore today with our audience here at the Press Club and our KIOS radio audience, Downtown Omaha, the Future. We have a panel of three people with a lot of experience in this subject. Bob Peters is director of the Omaha Planning Department. Barbara Schaefer is chairwoman of the Downtown Omaha Business Development Board. And Todd Hestad is co-owner of New Style Development Corporation, which has had a major role in rehabilitating old downtown buildings into apartments and commercial space. We're going to ask each of them to talk for about 10 minutes, and then we'll open it up to questions from you. There's paper and pencil at your tables. Please write down your questions, and they will be brought to me to ask from the podium. So let's begin with Bob Peters, director of the Omaha Planning Department. Bob?
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate the opportunity to have lunch with everybody today. A lot of old friends and colleagues. Mayor Dobb, who's responsible in his public life for many of the projects, initiating many of the projects that we see at our front door now, the river front community. I think most of the people in this room and most planners and designers would agree that the major urban renewal projects of the past did much to dehumanize cities, and that the process of reshaping these cities and these urban forms should now focus on plans and designs that bring the human aspect of communities back to our urban environment. And this needs to be done in substantive ways. I think three critical factors in the reshaping of not only Omaha but other communities are developing a sense of community at the neighborhood level. We've attempted to do that in our work in the Old Market area, in the work that's going on now in the downtown and riverfront areas. The focus much for many, many years in North Omaha, which you can see the results of out the window here to the north. The South 24th Street commercial activity and the rejuvenation of that district with our friends and partners, the South Omaha Business Association. And then the recently announced very innovative initiative called Destination Midtown, which is a partnership, again, between the corporate, institutional, and governmental entities within the city. All of these pedestrian activity and community-oriented activities create potential development also through well-used transportation nodes. The Missouri River Pedestrian Bridge is one of those opportunities where transportation dollars are not only being used to finance a substantial portion of that $23 million project, but also connect to miles and miles of riverfront trails. And I doubt if many people in this room or in the community consider pedestrian trails as a form of transportation. But it does, in fact, provide a node or a nucleus for other activities to play from, and I think we'll see that after the bridge is developed. And finally, the third opportunity would be to find those opportunities for improving valuable underused land. And during Mayor Dobb's administration and including Mayor Fahey's administration, there's been a great emphasis on reclaiming properties that not only have been undervalued and underutilized, but the location of those properties along the riverfront provide great opportunities, long-lasting opportunities to really finally establish and create and mold the image that this city is becoming and will become long into the future. Vital to the success of this urban regeneration effort is a renewed emphasis on public-private partnerships, some of which I've mentioned earlier in my comments. In Omaha, these partnerships have developed the urban form that have helped to create and sustain a sense of community. Rebuilding and reinforcing this sense of community contributes significantly to the social and economic benefits of the city. Cities with progressive leaders, such as former Mayor Dobb and also obviously Mayor Fahey, have worked towards incorporating community building plans into their overall development efforts. In Omaha, there are 8 major projects, and 8's just a good number because there are probably many more that I know Hal will remind me that I missed, that involve improving 350 acres of public open spaces and facilities at an estimated total public investment value of $300 million. That investment has also leveraged well over $1.5 billion of private investment in downtown, something that in my 30-year career with the city I never anticipated could ever occur, would ever occur, and I just feel very fortunate to be a part of it. Ultimately, more than a dozen projects will contribute to reshaping of the city of Omaha in the next decade, including, and many of these you're well aware of, a new 125-acre convention center and arena complex situated on the reclaimed former Union Pacific Railroad site, a 68-acre Gallup Corporation, Gallup University riverfront campus that's under construction. In addition, there will be a 33-block downtown northeast redevelopment area, which really was the linchpin redevelopment plan and involved the investment and created the investment and commitment by First National Bank in construction of their tower. The redesign and landscaping of Omaha's Gateway, Abbott Drive, the 21-acre Miller Park Landing Project, and the 17-acre landing area for the new $23 million Missouri River Pedestrian Bridge, which is part of a 2.5-mile riverfront renovation, 2.5 miles of riverfront land that will incorporate a large public plaza, multiple water features, a new National Park Service facility, a riverfront promenade, a marina, parking, transit, trail connections, and anything else we haven't thought of yet. The pedestrian bridge, which will be a signature piece for the city. Those of you that have seen the images will soon see the piles being driven for the piers later this year. And it's a very exciting project, hopefully to be completed in late 2005. But that and the adjacent projects also include 50 acres of park and recreation areas on the Council Bluff side of the river as well. So there's a partnership between communities here that is going to expand the recreational and park resources many fold. In addition to investments in property acquisition and public infrastructure by the city and in the development by the private sector, a major contributor, and I need to emphasize that many of the things that have been made possible would not have been without the support and financial investment by the nonprofit Omaha Development Foundation. Through organizations such as ODF, fundraising efforts have raised approximately $30 million that were invested in the acquisition, remediation, and preparation of many, many parcels within the downtown redevelopment areas. The real estate includes the former rail yards and metal recycling facilities such as the Asarco complex and also the locations for the ConAgra and Gallup campuses. It's important to emphasize that almost every single project in my 30-year career with the city and since the early 1970s has been a public-private partnership. the spirit of collaboration among the city, the county, the various foundations, including the Kiewit Foundation, and the private corporate sector has been phenomenal. Reshaping the urban form can be accomplished by addressing factors such as a sense of community, an increase in transportation-oriented development, and maximized development that takes advantage of valuable, underutilized land. Obviously, this is no small task, and Omaha is applying progressive planning through a mix of disciplines to reshape the city, both physically, culturally, and economically. The goal of this urban renewal process is hopefully to sustain and restore our social and cultural values as well as commercial attributes. Our experience evidences that this goal can only be accomplished by forging collaborations between public and private interests. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Barb Schaefer, who is going to talk about a major collaboration that's soon to occur in downtown Omaha.
And I am going to ask Barbara to stand up here at the podium, if you would. Bob, I forgot to tell you this at the beginning, but we'll have you make your opening comments from the podium.
Well, I've been fortunate to be involved in downtown Omaha now for 10 years, and in the last couple of years to be actively a member of a 10-member board who has been trying to pull together a plan to create a business improvement district for downtown Omaha, or I should say activate a business improvement district. The district already exists. The plan, as we looked at cities our size across the United States who have activated business improvement districts, and in doing so have created new vitality and to their downtown areas by increasing occupancy and usage of their downtown area. A business improvement district basically is a, it's creating for a downtown area what a shopping complex, a business park, a mall would already have under the management of one roof. It usually applies what are called CAM charges or common area maintenance charges to the businesses located there to pay for the common area maintenance of an area. Well, in a downtown business district, you have multiple owners, many owners, different types of businesses that are doing a multitude of different things, and but there is no one entity looking out for the common area that we all share together. Of course, we all know that our city is already taxed with the problems that it already has of running the city and keeping the city up, and we already know now that we have some new policing and so forth for the downtown and riverfront development. But there are many, many problems that need to be resolved within the downtown area that are not being addressed. Many of them have to do with the cleanliness and the safety of downtown. In a survey that we did last March, overwhelmingly the response was from the businesses and the property owners in the downtown area that they felt that the downtown was dirty, and they felt that there was the perception of it not being safe. The perception of lack of safety is one that is just a perception, because actually the downtown area is one of the safest neighborhoods in the city. It's funny probably to most people to hear downtown called a neighborhood, but it is a neighborhood. It's a neighborhood to over 7,000 people who live here now. And as Todd is going to tell you about, a lot of the projects that he has worked on and is working on are residential buildings that are being occupied by singles, families, couples like my husband and myself that are kind of semi-retired, who are returning to the downtown area, who like the urban lifestyle. The things that are missing from that package are the is I think the ability for an entity in the downtown area to be able to, number one, promote the fact that downtown is safe as an entity. But number two, and probably most importantly, is for people to come down here and to be able to walk down the streets and to make downtown a pedestrian corridor, that people will have a feeling that this is a place I should be. Right now, you could leave the DoubleTree Hotel or the Sheraton Hotel, any of them, and begin a walk towards the Old Market, and you don't have that feeling at all. You pass boarded-up storefronts. You pass garbage laying on the streets. You walk past alleys that are unbelievably filthy, with garbage everywhere. Some alleys have 10 dumpsters in them. It really is unsightly, and the person walking in the area doesn't feel safe because it doesn't look safe. And so the perception that they have is a wrong perception because the area is safe. We have now currently some problems with panhandling and a lot of homeless people that have taken up residence in our Central Park Mall, an issue that needs to be dealt with. All of these things need an entity in which they can be dealt with. It's easy to say, well, the city should deal with this, or, you know, the business owner should deal with that, but there is no central entity that can focus on these problems. Business improvement districts across the country have dealt with these issues. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. They've found that business improvement districts create exactly that entity to deal with these problems. I'm going to give you an example. In Los Angeles, the Fashion District was just about ready to quit business because they had such a problem with homeless people on the streets and hanging around all day long and drinking in doorways and so forth, and had chased off most of their business. And they thought, you know, this isn't right. We need to come up with a good answer for this. They put their heads together as a bunch of business people, and they came up with a solution. They went and investigated first why these people had chosen to be there. What were they doing there? What brought them there? And they found out that most of these people came to that particular district because there was a day labor place there where they could go and they could work for day labor wages. And that was the original thing that brought them there. And then they would check in with this office at several times during the day. Well, it created this environment. So what they did was one of the gentlemen who owned a fashion business there had a large mobile home that had been used at a beach property at some time and wasn't being used. And he arranged for that to be brought into the city, and another business said he had an extra large parking lot that wasn't being used. And they set this mobile home up. It was a couple blocks off the main street, and they plumbed it and set it up and got some other businesses to contribute coffee and so forth, and basically made a clubhouse for these people to hang out at all day. Now these people are no longer hanging out on the street corner or in doorways. They have a place to go. There are solutions to problems. I have no idea what our solution is because it hasn't been addressed. But that gives you an idea of one of the things that a business improvement district can do. You've probably all read in the paper, you know, of course, the thing that everyone wants to focus on is they're saying, you know, I'm being taxed for this. Well, first, it's not a tax. It's an assessment. And every business has a say in the running of this business improvement district and has a voice in it. The funds that they would be assessed would be pooled and into the project and it would be run by a director. This director, as well as putting together a maintenance program that would work on cleaning up and the streets, and I mean from street sweeping daily to picking up trash and so forth, but also seeing that our trees are watered, that that the maintenance is done on shrubberies, that we don't have pots sitting unplanted all over town like we've had that have become just gigantic cigarette disposal pots. I mean, we really have some unsightly things if you walk around the downtown area. All you have to do is walk straight down 16th Street here. And, I mean, it makes you ashamed of your downtown area. Well, we have this beautiful convention center that we've just built. And for the first time, Omaha is inviting in great quantity great numbers of people to come to our downtown. Well, I don't know about you, but when I invite people to my home, the first thing I do is clean house. And we need to clean our house. Our downtown is a mess. It's unsightly. Marty Schuchert has a wonderful expression that I've coined over and over again. Omaha is a wonderful city. It has fabulous projects. We have beautiful buildings, wonderful things going on, but we have not tended to the fabric that knits them all together. And that's what the Business Improvement District is looking at doing, is tending to that fabric of creating a feeling between all these projects as you walk through downtown, as we have this pedestrian traffic. And as you all know, convention goers are mostly pedestrian-oriented people. They're people who are going to be staying at these hotels right downtown. They're going to be walking back and forth to that convention center to their activities, and they're going to be looking at these things. And beyond that, our own city, we need to sell our downtown back to our city, because I hear people from West Omaha say all the time, well, why would I want to come downtown? Well, why would you want to come downtown? Downtown only contains everything that there is to do in this city. With the exception of the Playhouse, you know, we have all of the performing arts take place downtown. We have, I think, 26 art galleries. We have the Bemis Center for Contemporary Art, which is internationally known. We have the Old Market District, which has world-class restaurants. We have two world-class museums in the Durham and the Joslyn. And I mean, I could go on and on about the things that we have downtown, but every citizen of Omaha should feel that this is their downtown, and that this take pride in the fact that this is their city, and this is how people will judge Omaha. We say, you know, Omaha has an identity problem. I hear this all the time. Well, we need to brand ourselves, and how are we going to brand ourselves? We're going to brand ourselves by what people, what their impressions are when they come to our city. And so that's kind of what the Business Improvement District is about. It's about addressing all of those issues.
Thank you, Barbara. And just a reminder that there's paper and pencil on your tables. If you have questions, please hand them out, and Hugh will bring them up. Now, Todd Hestand, co-owner of New Style Development Corporation. Todd.
Thank you. I'd like to thank Gary for inviting me up here. For one thing, come up here on this corner, it just really rejuvenates you and makes you realize everything that is going on down here. I don't get up here near enough. I'd like to thank, you know, Mayor Dobb and Mayor Faye. I mean, this is really what got it started. We were back in 88, and I remember going into Bob Peters' office, and it was just like, you know, we're looking for different things to be doing, and I remember it really stuck with us, is that he said, you know, we've got all the different pieces at that time, some of the newer construction had just happened then, but we didn't have the people downtown. And he really focused Tammy and I on, you know, let's get some residential going downtown here and get the people here and make it a 24-hour downtown. And that's kind of what got us started going on the residential and the historical buildings. We just loved doing those. And it's been our focus. And I think one of my main goals right now of trying to get that piece going again. Now, we have got chewed out numerous times on the way we've went about a few things from Bob, but that's beside the point. You definitely got to get the architectural right. Otherwise, we're in big trouble. And you can see a lot of different projects out there, too, that he made sure the architectural was right. But I think with when we're up here especially, and we're focusing on what's going on with the downtown, like Barb said, and we've got a really good downtown, but I think the key is we want a great downtown, and that is why the BID, and I'm going to get nailed big time with our properties, but it's like it's kind of our duty. You know, it's not up to the people out west to pay for what we expect the downtown to look like, which is an A++ condition, not just an A. And so I guess we feel that it's time for us to step up to the plate and pay for what we expect it to look like when the convention people come and visit our properties, you know, and that's what's going to turn the downtown and will give us an image and that we're all proud of. I think one of the pieces that I'm working on and trying to promote, and I think Denny Wilson had caught us here about a year and a half ago. And there were 60 of us got together and said, what can we, you know, the convention center is going to be coming on this fall. What can we do? to get this piece going and looking and getting moving. Now, when you come up here and you see on North, you're driving from Doubletree North on 16th, and you see, you know, to the left, Creighton's getting their new soccer field, and the convention center's going on, and the hotel, and it's really coming along. And we've got the property that basically on the new Abbott Drive and Cummings Street in 16th sits. It's the old, they call the Tip Top Curler building. It was, and it was actually started out as a Model T Ford building, one of the neatest buildings left in that area. And we were really looking hard at tying into it last year. Well, it was just, it sits out there kind of as an island. And we've got to get other developers and people involved. We've got great corporate investment done downtown, you know, from our corporations and our banks, and the city has done a super job investing. And we've got to get this private development. We've got to get some of these, I say, out west developers, and we need more help downtown. We need to get some people in doing other construction as far as more residential, retail, things like that going. And I'd love to see it going around kind of an entertainment district around the convention center with the Creighton right there. We could really be doing some things. So I guess my promotion is trying to get other developers, you know, we need to get the excitement going. You know, we could tie into the Tip Top building there on 16th and Cumming, and we'd be pushing it, you know, here, come on up. We got 35,000 square feet of commercial and 110 apartments, and I think we'd be pushing right now to get people up there. So it's like we need to have that. We need to have the down by the hot shops. There's some great historical buildings. There's a lot of bare ground. If we can get, you know, a grocery store that would really fit into the area need, or some theaters or anything, there's just all kinds of ideas that would be great to have happen on this bare ground around here. So I guess that's probably my biggest push over the next year will be, let's get some other people involved downtown and other out of town developers, whoever we can get to come in and help out and take advantage of what's going to be happening. We just have to sell them on the idea that this convention center is going to be great, and we're going to have a lot of good publicity from it, and now take advantage of it and run with the ball. I think we'll just leave it over to Gary and get questions.
Thank you, Todd. Questions? Again, if you have questions you would like to ask our panel, please write them down and they'll be brought up. Downtown has a lot of low-end and high-end income living options. How will you make sure that the middle-income segment of the population can be included in the downtown neighborhood? Bob, you want to?
Boy, I'd love that one. That's a nice. I like a nice big softball to start out the panel discussion. A little history lesson about downtown housing. There wasn't any, except for the Park East neighborhood, which is generally found west of 20th Street. The Drake Court, now being renovated and rejuvenated, was generally the area where you saw the former streetcar line-oriented residential developments. In the early 1980s, we began utilizing federal community development funds, federal loans, and historic tax credits to convert small-scale historic buildings, generally in the old market, to residential uses. Those buildings, while they required, because of the subsidies that we provided, an occupancy by lower-income individuals and families, and lower income now probably, we call it affordable units that we create. A single individual that makes probably less than $28,000 a year could occupy those units. Quite significantly more, a family of four is probably closer to $40,000. And it was oriented towards bringing a population that was probably focused on the downtown service employees, also the arts community, and the artists that generally have always been a lower income population in most cities. Through the years, that the progress we made in the old market not only secured forever the long-lasting beauty of the old market neighborhood, but we also focused on 16th Street, where we found ourselves in the 1980s having 16th Street lined with vacant former office buildings that really were not eligible candidates to be converted or restored into new office uses. And one by one, whether it was the Orpheum, now the Orpheum Tower, Farnham 1600, the former First National Bank building, the former Hill Hotel, the former Aquila Court, which became a hotel, Reddick Tower, which became another hotel, one by one, and there are many others, we focused, again, federal community development dollars. And now what came along was the Affordable Housing Tax Credit, which provided a substantial amount of equity to drive forward the development of these projects. It brought equity dollars offline from debt financing to these projects. Over time, those projects, the families that live in these buildings are qualified upon first entry into those buildings. So over time, as their incomes increase and as they are promoted through the ranks of the corporations and institutions that they work for, the buildings take on the spectrum of the downtown community. It's not a low-income, high-rise or development. It was affordable originally. Many of the downtown junior management and service employees live in these environments. A strange thing happened. We created several thousand units, and middle-income families and individuals began to have interest in residing in downtown, especially in and around the old market area. And we began developing projects with the likes of Todd and his sister Tammy and other developers in downtown that were oriented towards a non-subsidized middle-income marketplace. And probably since the approximately 10 years ago, that the shift in the marketplace occurred. And we've created probably close to 1,000 units that are not assisted by any federal subsidies and generally tax increment financing, which is a utilization of property taxes to offset some of the costs of the projects, have been focused to create the financial package and then obviously create the developments. Todd, and through New Style and various partnerships over the past couple years, has put hundreds of units online. Market studies show that 150 units a year, non-subsidized, non-affordable, could be absorbed in the marketplace with an almost a like number in the affordable category, also able to be supported by the downtown residential market. Something else happened in over the past 2 years. We've seen a conversion of larger loft units to ownership through some condominiums that the Mercer family has accomplished, and smaller scale projects that private developers have brought online. We have seen resales, and actually sales and resales in the marketplace, that approach $400,000 a unit in downtown Omaha. Some of those units are being purchased by executives and upper management individuals that have migrated to Omaha because of the expansion of Union Pacific, ConAgra, Gallup University, and others. It's a very important market force that's going to drive the downtown housing market to achieve new thresholds. The existing building stock, Todd's expertise and experience has been in historic conversions and renovations. There really aren't any more historic buildings that are out there in the marketplace. You can count on one hand those that are available, and they're quite pricey because a lot of the development that has occurred have driven up the price points on those buildings. So what we see now is a great deal of interest from in-state and out-state developers to construct new ownership housing in downtown and along the riverfront. The city has a development parcel adjacent to the National Park Service site and the pedestrian bridge site just south of Gallup University that we just put on the marketplace. It's valued at a little over $1.6 million for a six-acre parcel. We expect proposals that will range from probably solely residential uses to a combination of mixed use of residential, commercial, and office uses. Mike Moylan is doing a small project at 10th and Capital that are ownership units. Of his 12 units, 8 are presently sold, and the price points on those units are in excess of $300,000 apiece. So there are the resources that are that have provided quite a wide range of housing opportunities. If we hadn't had the ability to establish the affordable market in downtown Omaha, many of the things we're seeing now would never have occurred. You wouldn't have created the perception of a 24-hour environment or neighborhood, as Barb talked about. You also would not, at this point in time, because of market prices, of real estate prices in downtown area, been able to afford to create any of the affordable units that we now enjoy and will be in the marketplace for quite some time. So there's quite an interesting relationship, and there's obviously a dramatic increase, not only in interest, but in the value of downtown properties. And we see that there's going to be new construction of ownership units in downtown and maybe the areas adjacent to the convention center and arena areas in the years to come.
Along those same lines, it's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, but most of the redevelopment work that you have done has been with tax incentives. Now, do you see the time coming when private developers are going to get heavily involved in doing stuff without those tax incentives?
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to think that it could happen right now. We're looking at a couple projects that probably we'd probably still would require the tax increment financing. But as far as historical or the low income housing tax credit, I think they could be done. Okay. So it'd be great.
Barbara, several questions for you with regard to the business improvement district. The previous city council defeated the activation of a downtown business improvement district, voting 3-4 against. What are this effort's prospects? What, in your judgment, are the major barriers to the acceptance and passage of the BID?
The previous look at the business improvement district failed because of two reasons. I think the first one was a lack of understanding of the scope of what a business improvement district could be. At the time, we looked at it for using it was really a capital improvement to use for the holiday lighting. And one of the major problems with that was that the Central Park Mall was not wired electrically for it. And the feeling was that that was the city's responsibility, not the business community's, to do that. And so basically it was kind of actually by agreement, we kind of just pulled back on it and said, well, this isn't the right kind of project to do the improvement district on. At that time, we did not have a good sense of what a business improvement district was about. After going and visiting many different cities that have improvement districts and going to some international downtown conferences, we found that we were one of the few cities our size that did not have an improvement district in their downtown area, and most of them all focused on the clean and safe issues. So therefore, we came back and to the table and with this board, and for the last 2 years have investigated that and looking at how that could be used to activate this improvement district and clean up downtown Omaha. As both Bob and Todd have said, the downtown district has now become a 24-hour neighborhood, and that creates a whole different feel for downtown than what downtown has been in the past. A lot of the failure of what happened to the projects in the 80s, like with Park Fair and so forth, was, I think, a lack of understanding of exactly what downtowns have become. If you go to other cities our size that have successful downtowns and successful projects. They've done them through this business improvement district system by coming together as a group. If you look like the San Antonio Riverwalk is a good example of it, the Des Moines Skywalks. Lincoln just uses theirs just as a clean and safe program. But their downtowns all are the ones that are successful because they're clean and people feel safe to move about in them. And most of them have a residential population. And we really have that in our favor. St. Louis, for instance, has a business improvement district in their downtown area. One of the major problems that they've never been able to overcome so far is they have no residential community. And because of the lack of the 24-hour-a-day presence downtown, my husband and I lived there for a short time, and we used to laugh that we could ride our bicycles down through there, and it was great, you know, because there wasn't a soul around, you know, after 5 o'clock at night. Well, downtown Omaha has this really big community downtown moving about all the time, and so that really enables us to have a step up on creating something spectacular downtown. Gary, what was the other question?
I think you addressed it.
Okay.
I think we're in good shape. You may be interested in talking about this too, as well as Bob. It seems like, and there's several questions I want to kind of throw together here. It seems like 16th Street downtown, once the pride of downtown Omaha, is still struggling. What can be done? We live down here, have to travel too far for a grocery store. Many big cities have vibrant downtowns despite suburban shopping centers. I'm thinking of Chicago's Miracle Mile. Is anything like that possible from Omaha, for Omaha? Bob, you want to start on that? And
I'd like to jump on that just real quick.
Sure.
and answer.
Thank you, Barbara.
One of the things, I'll give Bob a minute to think. One of the things that we've talked about as a business improvement board is the use of 16th Street as an entertainment complex. If we look at like the Park Fair Mall and the Breaker Brandeis building, as Union Pacific occupies their new building, of course, those buildings are going to be vacated. And so here we have this huge space that's sitting empty. What are we going to do with this space? And we think it would make a great venue for an entertainment complex. Put movie theaters in there, maybe a bowling alley, maybe a nightclub. There's all kinds of possibilities there. The wonderful thing about it is that after 5 o'clock at night, the parking garages are empty. You know, the noise of an entertainment complex like that would bother no one because the office buildings are all empty. And we could, through the improvement district, do something to offer free parking there, you know, after 5 o'clock at night. And so there would be nothing to keep people from utilizing it as that. So, and it's a needed thing for downtown.
Bob, you want to take a shot?
Sure. I guess the series of questions involve three issues, 16th Street and the lack of activity and probably convenience of parking because it's a transit mall, the unavailability in the downtown marketplace of a grocery facility or enterprise, and also what's the potential for a much larger scale retail development. 16th Street was developed along with Park Fair as in an attempt to create a transit corridor and a focus for metro area transit's downtown routes. Obviously, metro area transit has found that there are other ways and better ways to conduct the transportation city system in the city, and they have proposed a downtown facility in conjunction with potentially the Greyhound bus system that is on the edge of downtown, that from which their circulator routes would spin out from. And over this next year, you're going to see that actually being implemented throughout the city. So 16th Street was envisioned to be something closer to what Portland established in the way of a transit mall. It unfortunately eliminated sidewalk or street side parking, which makes it almost impossible for any small business located in those first floors of the office buildings to have an after 5 o'clock market. Reconfiguration of it is extremely expensive. Anybody that's walked it, it's a very beautiful street, but to move the curbs back and deal with the utilities and the lighting issues so that that front door parking can be provided on a two-way street is going to take some funding that isn't in our short-term improvement programs. The opportunity to attract a larger scale retail development and grocery store complex, I think, is probably a very real opportunity. It probably will play not in the near future, but probably in a mid-range, maybe 5 to 10 year forecast, and probably possibly combined with entertainment facilities adjacent to the convention center, and which will be in the burgeoning marketplace of additional loft units in the Old Market North area, which is an area of older, very historic buildings at the 13th and Nicholas commercial and industrial area north of downtown. It's the area where the hot shops are. And if you haven't been there for a hot shops opening, you should definitely go. It's a great, great environment. The Old Market, if anybody recalls, and I know there are a bunch of us here that do, was originally started by you know, hippies like Hal and other friends of his and mine, that there were, you know, record stores, clothing stores, head shops, whatever, the arts community saved the Old Market in conjunction with the Mercer family. The same type of evolution and conversion of buildings at 13th and Nicholas is occurring there. So is a grocery store opportunity realistic? Yeah, should, in the near future, yes. It's being looked at along with more, it's not upscale retail, but more market-based retail, and I think we'll realize those in the not-too-distant future.
Okay. Todd or Barbara, several Old Market buildings slash spaces have been vacant and for lease for years. Are the landlords deliberately keeping lease rents too high? Examples, Great Wall Restaurant, former bistro space, etc. Todd, you want to take that on?
I would say definitely. The space that's sitting like that empty, I see no reason, you know, for it to be empty, except that I think the landlords have too much expectation, obviously, for it, because if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to remember the rent that the last restaurant in the bistro space, golly, I want to say it was like $18,000 a month, and the rent was on the building. And, I mean, it was so much that it was just impossible to make, you know, to crack that nut. So I think that definitely is just because it's too expensive. Because there's certainly, I mean, I myself get calls all the time just through my magazine of people who want space down there. So it has to be something to do with the amount of rent that, you know.
Todd, any thoughts on that? I mean, are you involved at all in leasing space downtown?
We do. That was something else that Bob beat into our head. That make sure you keep that lower level commercial, you know, and do the upper levels residential. So we always do have commercial along with our projects. And we've always taken the approach of, you know, to get anybody in there in a viable business is worth more than having the vacant space. It's at least a successful project when you do that. And so we do. We pretty well will take anybody that's coming in. We try to make it work for them.
Are the spaces that you have down there all leased or most leased? Or
yep, I'll put a plug. We have one left under the 10th Street Viaduct that we're kind of trying to wait for the Butternut East to get completed, and then I think that will fill up. Otherwise, everything's full.
And you have the apartment project.
Yeah, the
and
Old Market Lots.
How's that going?
That's going great. The retail, that's where we did push for retail there. And, you know, it's got Lons and Garbo's and those.
He didn't listen to me.
Yeah. we were trying to get it more lively. And we're waiting for Jones Street to kind of come through.
Uh-huh.
You know, when Jones Street gets connected back up, we feel it'll do well.
Okay. Question for whomever. What's the city doing to attract development to the convention center, to the Creighton area, and make sure that it is high quality development? Bob?
I guess city's the defining focus there, so that will fall to me. There, as Todd mentioned, we did some visioning workshops with the assistance of URS and some other consultants and architectural and urban design firms in town for the area between the Convention Center and Creighton University. At that time, Creighton University was still defining the scope of its land holdings and actually has just recently completed its master planning efforts related to those acquisitions. Creighton has expanded and is taking property all the way east to 17th Street. And the large area that's being graded out this north window, for you radio listeners, you'll have to just kind of imagine a very large four-block area that's being converted into at a cost of about $8 million into a soccer complex. Across the street from it is the O'Keefe Elevator Building, which hopefully will go into play in the marketplace as some additional loft residential opportunities. But the idea from the visioning workshop and from other discussions and soon-to-be-announced efforts to continue those discussions is to create a vocabulary for a mixed-use area that will involve first-floor commercial and entertainment uses, professional offices, and also upper-story residential uses. There's an interesting project in Eugene, Oregon, which I think captures the essence and image of what that area can become. It's very contemporary in its design. It respects the streetscape, meaning that buildings are at the property line. Parking is either within the buildings or behind them, so you don't have the parking that we see in suburban areas or office types of complexes. The architecture of the building is I wouldn't say it's fantasy, but it's definitely very modern and definitely says that this building, these buildings were designed in the new century, and they're long-lasting and very high in quality. So we're very cognizant of the need to create not only a zoning classification that allows these innovative and imaginative projects to occur within, but also design standards that will ensure that there's a very high quality of development that will rest there.
Question, with all of the development going on with world-class eateries, why does Omaha still have the reputation a place not to be? Barbara?
Boy, I'll tell you, that's one that we were just discussing this morning at our Business Improvement District Board. There seems to be this perception of Omaha being an unsafe city downtown. Obviously, what we just read about the national wrestling championships going to Lincoln rather than Omaha because they felt that downtown Omaha was not safe. Boy, that's really a nasty blast to us, I think, as a city, because we are a safe city, and downtown is probably one of the safest neighborhoods in the city. And boy, I think if you want to hit on something controversial, that's it right there. We are a beautiful city downtown. We just got to get rid of this perception. And part of that perception rests on the issues that the bid is addressing, which is we have got to clean up our downtown area. We've got to clean it up, and we've got to make it more presentable. And right now it's not presentable. I challenge any one of you to take a walk, you know, and walk three or four blocks downtown and see what you see, because and be aware of what you see, because what you see is what we're inviting people to come to our city and see, and it needs to be different than it is. So I think cleaning up downtown is going to change that perception, and I think we need somewhat of a campaign to go along with that that is going to sell Omaha back to Omahans first, because until we sell Omaha back to our own citizens that this is a safe, good downtown area to be in, we are going to have a hard time selling it to anybody else. And when we want to fill that convention center down there, we need to keep that in mind. This convention center is costing every person that lives in the city of Omaha. It doesn't belong just to the people who live downtown. It belongs to this whole city. And it affects everyone in this city, that it be successful. But beyond that, you know, our board has also been aware that, you know, we've got employers downtown, the First National, Union Pacific, ConAgra, the New Gallup. These people are trying to recruit people to this city. They want to sell Omaha to people, young professionals that they're trying to recruit from Chicago and New York and San Francisco and other cities. And they come here to Omaha, and they want to be able to sell it. Well, we have a package that's very sellable, but right now it doesn't look too good. We need to wrap it up a little bit better. So it's not just the visitor we're worried about. It's the actual people who are going to live and occupy the city. It becomes a really important factor, too.
Todd Heastan, you travel to other parts of the country. Is there a perception problem with us?
I do think it is a lot of a perception, and it is the size. We're a smaller city, but I think it's once a lot of the different people that come into the city for the first time that come to visit us are just shocked. I mean, they just can't believe what the one comment was. Where do you keep all your cows at? He was out of New York City, and he honestly thought he'd see cows coming from the airport. And I think that is the perception that we have to get changed. That this is and they love the old market. They love being 5 minutes, you know, to the airport. And there's just a lot of once they come, they're gonna love it. And I think that's what the convention center is gonna bring in. That it's just gonna change the perception because we'll get that many more people coming in.
What is the plan for 10th Street, Bob, which links the new development and the old market to tourist sites like the zoo and Rosenblatt Stadium?
I was thinking you were going to direct me north, and you threw a curve at me to go south. Let's start north, first of all. As everybody that's been down Abbott Drive from the airport has obviously seen quite a change in that vehicular corridor, and that same lighting and landscaping will turn on 10th Street and go south into the eastern portions of downtown to Capitol Avenue. From Capitol Avenue south, we will pick up with the historic lighting that we're starting to see sprout up in the old market. We have finally reached consensus on what the lighting fixture is, which is identical to that on the 10th Street bridge. We recast the original Paxton Verling light fixtures that were all over the city, and in fact quite intensely in downtown, and those will be erected over this actually beginning this year in quite significant numbers. We've been able to pool finally some funds from projects in and around the old market. So 10th Street will be lined with the double-headed antique standards in marching pairs down to the bridge, over the bridge. We'll go to a more pedestrian scale fixture, which is just a single globe. And generally, the streetscape will be enhanced with landscaping and sidewalk treatments that are much more pedestrian in orientation. So there won't be a monumental procession of lighting, and there won't be a feeling of anything but driving through some very wonderful South Omaha neighborhoods to the old market and ballpark.
Well, thank you all. A reminder of some upcoming noon forums on May 8th. Father Don Dahl of Creighton University, long known as a photojournalist, will be here to talk about his collection of photographs of Native Americans and victims of war. That's on May 8th. Then on May 22nd, we will have a panel on the topic Cuba, the Nebraska connection, with some folks who have traveled to Cuba under the eased U.S. sanctions against that country. For now, our thanks to our panel today. We are adjourned.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today's topic was Downtown Omaha, the Future. The members of the panel were Bob Peters, the director of the Omaha Planning Department, Barbara Schaefer, chairman of the Downtown Omaha Business Development Board, and Todd Heastand, co-owner of New Style Development Corporation, which has had a major role in rehabilitating old downtown buildings into apartments and commercial space. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, March 20th, 2003, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Gary Kerr for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club holds these noontime educational forums each month. If you'd like to attend future forums, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.